From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're going to go right to the callers, but I want to mention the support team. It's so important that you join. When you become a support team member, you commit to support the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute with your ongoing support. Some people give $25, some $50 a month, some more. In appreciation for your support, you will receive the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. You can also request a personalized edition. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Select Support Team, and then fill out the online form. Join a team making a difference for time and for eternity. And do remember, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is designed to answer questions that stumble seekers and solidify skeptics in their opposition to a biblical worldview. It was born out of a couple of decades of hosting this show. So what I've done is I've taken my impromptu answers and chiseled them until only the gem emerges. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, again, available to you in a personalized format. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000-CRI. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Steve. He's listening in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure speaking with you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I've been trying to minister to my son, who's now 30. He was a virgin up to 28 and, of course, you know, fell. I'm wondering, how can I minister to him and point out that there are consequences to having sex out of marriage?
Yeah, well, one of the things, of course, that we recognize about sex is it's one of God's greatest gifts to humankind, albeit a gift that has to be used within the bounds of marriage. God sets those boundaries around our lives, not because he's a cosmic killjoy, but rather because he wants our joy to be complete. The first issue, of course, is this. If you are a believer, you want to live within the parameters that God sets for you to live within. If you're a non-believer, you live by the dictates of your own will. But the issue then is what happens to change the heart. Well, Jesus Christ changes the heart. When Jesus Christ changes the heart, behavior follows as well. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time gratified the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." And Paul goes on to point out what happens in contrast with the one who is redeemed. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and as a new believer, you're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. And now you live your life by a completely different standard, not in light of the Prince of Darkness, but in light of the Prince of Life.
Yeah, and well, he's a Christian, like most of us. We fall and we sin, but we confess and get back on track. But I guess my ministering or, you know, just talking to him isn't going to change his mind.
Well, pray for him. Pray for him. Nothing happens without the heart changes. Once the heart changes, then everything else changes. But as long as the heart is set on the desires of this world, then no real permanent change will take place. But there are so many of us that can look back at our own lives and say, but for the grace of God, there go I. Also, we look at people that we thought, golly, God will never change their pattern of behavior. And we look a few years later and we see, my goodness, the power of grace, the power of God is still as potent today as it was when he spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike listening in Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. Hey, listen, I listen to you every evening on the way home from work, and I know you don't believe in the rapture. So I had some follow-on questions for you. If the rapture doesn't happen, that would mean all the Christians would go through the tribulation, and then Jesus would come after year 7. So do all the Christians on earth, do they go ahead and die and then get their eternal bodies? Or at what point would they get the eternal bodies? And when Jesus does come back, I think I read somewhere that the angels will kill all non-believers. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct. And here's what happens. Jesus Christ made it plain. Do not be amazed, he said. A time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. So when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we will meet him, as it were, in the air. The word for rapture is there. The idea is we welcome the King. Now, it doesn't in any way mean that he reverses course and takes us somewhere, but we welcome him to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. God himself, Revelation tells us, will live with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, what happens? The Lord returns. When he returns, everyone is resurrected. Not some now and some later. Everyone is resurrected. Everyone is judged. Some receive rewards in heaven. Some suffer loss. Some receive different penalties in hell. This is done by the righteous judge of the universe. Degrees of reward in heaven, degrees of punishment in hell. But this happens upon the Lord's return. So the idea that there's all kinds of other things that are going to go on is, in my view, something that's imposed on the Scripture, not something you derive from the Scriptures.
So if you're alive when Jesus comes back, you're not resurrected. You haven't actually died yet.
Yeah, you are. You're resurrected because you're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You're transformed. That's what happens. And so you go from mortal to immortal, which is tantamount to dying and being resurrected. And this is what Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Paul here, by the way, is giving comfort to people who are grieving over lost loved ones. So he says that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those you're grieving over or those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. There's nothing secret going on here, by the way. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then, says Paul, we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And again, the picture is of the king that comes to a village, and the village people run out to meet him, and they bring him back to the village. And the king stays with them forever. They are with the king, and the king is with them. And you might want to reference that with what I quoted earlier. You find that in the book of Revelation, you see that Jesus Christ comes. And when he comes, he establishes the eternal state. The old order of things has passed away, and all things become new. And the text itself tells us that the dwelling of God is now with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, this is tantamount to what happened when Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. That will be restored when Jesus Christ returns. All the other things that people impose on the passage, well, that's a matter of debate. I don't happen to hold to those particular paradigms. We can discuss that. We can debate it vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over it. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I've written about that in the Apocalypse Code. You can find that on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to Maurice in Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi, Maurice.
My question is, in Revelation 11, and I read your book, The Apocalypse Code, and just to give you a kind of a foreground of what I'm thinking is I tend toward the preterist view of Revelation, and I'm kind of wavering as to whether to go full preterist or partial preterist. And I know that John is told to measure the temple, and the big question is what temple is he measuring?
Well, what I think is very interesting about that is there's a contrast between the Apostle John, who is told to measure a temple which is still standing, and a temple that's going to be soon trodden down by the Gentiles, and the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel, I think it's 47, where he is not told to measure the temple because the temple had already been destroyed. And instead, he receives a vision of hope and a future. And in that vision, he sees an angelic messenger whose appearance is like bronze, and he has a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. And that angel measures out a heavenly temple of shining splendor. And at the end, you see that that temple has words that are associated with it. The Lord is there. So you have a heavenly temple that's being communicated in one instance. In the other instance, you have a temple that is still standing.
Okay, so if he's measuring the physical temple, then the book has to be written before 70 AD, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, there's no question that it was written before 70 AD.
I know there are some people that the futurist view, they tend to say that that this is some kind of figurative temple or a future temple that's going to be rebuilt.
Now, trust me about one thing here. If that temple had been destroyed and someone's writing after the destruction of that temple, the destruction of that temple would have been mentioned. You can imagine what the prophets always do. They seize upon fulfilled prophecy, and this is one of the most epic prophecies that Jesus Christ ever made. He talks about the fact that the city, that the temple are going to be destroyed. And if that had, in fact, happened precisely as Jesus Christ said it would happen, the prophets would have seized upon that and would have said that Christ's prophecy was fulfilled. The other thing I would mention to you is full preterism is simply bankrupt. So if you say we are now in the resurrection and the new heaven and the new earth, there's no point to life. It is a bankrupt system, and there's a big distinction. It's not just a few clicks past between the partial preterist position and the full preterist position. One is a position acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. The other is not.
Okay, yeah, and it just seemed like sometimes it's difficult to separate the future coming of Christ with the local judgment of 70 AD, and I'm not sure I can do that right now.
I need
more study. I just haven't really nailed it down yet. So.
I mean, just think about it this way. The eschaton has been inaugurated. One day it will be consummated, but that day has not yet come. There's a day in which the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. A day in which Jesus Christ returns and puts all things to right, that day has not yet come.
Okay, thanks for your answer.
Hey, you got it. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Steve in Kingsford, Tennessee. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Hank. Hey, my question was about the Jew. What does the Bible consider a Jew in the Old Testament versus a new? And in one place there it says it's not a Jew that is Jew outwardly, a Jew that is Jew inwardly.
Yeah, and that is exactly the point. And in fact, you see this in a couple of places in the book of Revelation, which I was just talking about. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, I think it is verse 9, you have the words of him who is the first and the last, who died, who came to life again. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So there are Jews and there are Jews. There are Jews who are Jews outwardly, but they are not Jews inwardly. So you can talk about Jewishness from a lot of different perspectives. You can talk about it from the perspective of ethnicity. You can talk about it from the perspective of spirituality. Then you have a contrast between Israel and true Israel. For example, in Esther, you have the nations looking on, seeing how God sovereignly raises up Esther to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And on that day, many people from different nations became Jews. Now, what did that mean? Well, they were people from different ethnicities, but they were brought into all the civil and ceremonial laws pointing forward to Jesus Christ. They were brought into temple, priest, and sacrifice. So they were Jews because they were brought in to the civil and ceremonial laws that pointed forward to Jesus. That's the point. So it's ultimately about true Israel versus Israel. True Israel is not Jewish by nationality, but rather Jewish by spirituality. It's not the circumcision of the flesh, but it ends up being the circumcision of the heart. And that's why you have these words in Revelation chapter 2.
There'll be more or less God's chosen people as Christian people, as people that accepted him. It wouldn't be a race of people than in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Jews in the Old Testament like Ruth. Well, whoa, she's a Moabite, but yet she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Or Rahab, she's a Canaanite, and yet she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they believed Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they were brought into the types and shadows which pointed to the substance. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin, listening in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right, I've got a question that kind of deals with this issue of divorce and remarriage. I'll just give you a real brief rundown. About 6 years ago, I kind of fell away from the Lord. I was saved in 1999. I was married previously. Kind of drifted away in around 2004, 2005. In that, I committed adultery and just a laundry list of other sins. My first wife ended up divorcing me. Since that time, I had remarried, and the last couple of years, I really felt like God's been drawing my heart to just places of deep repentance and making amends in places where it's possible. And so anyway, long story short, I had read Matthew 19 about the divorce and remarriage of those who had been unfaithful, and I stumbled onto the internet, a site where these people were stating that if you were remarried, no matter the situation, that you were pretty much signing your hell certificate, and that the only way to make right that wrong where God would take you to heaven would be if you were to leave that family that you remarried into and live celibate for the rest of your life.
That's nonsense. In fact, it is ungodly, unbiblical advice. Simply do not pay attention to it. It is true that we should not be those who are engaged as Christians in willful sin. But you have repented of your sin, and you've not only done so, but you have communicated in the prologue to your question that you are attempting to make right where you can those wrongs you have done in your past. There are, however, some eggs you simply cannot unscramble. And to add one wrong to another simply doesn't solve anything. You are now married. Cherish your wife. Demonstrate the reality of the Christian life through your love and through the way you communicate with your lips. But press on. Do not look backwards. Do not try to unscramble the egg. You will cause a whole lot more harm and hurt. If Jesus Christ can forgive David, and remember, Jesus forever sits upon the throne of David. If he can forgive David, not only for adultery, but having the woman's husband killed, if God can forgive him, he can certainly forgive you. Now, in saying that, I'm not in any way saying, let's be cavalier about sin. No, I take sin seriously because God takes sin seriously, and there are always consequences, and you know that full well. There are consequences that follow inexorably like night follows day. But yet God, in his sovereignty, his love, and his mercy, condescends to use us even though we have violated his commands. To try to go back and divorce someone would be another violation of his command. Therefore, whoever's telling you that simply does not know how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
I see. Yeah, I definitely understand the consequences following. That's one of the things I've definitely learned from the most. Is I've never experienced in my life the deep repenting that's gone on in my heart. And it's like, man, it's refreshing to learn that I don't have to carry that monkey on my back anymore. Well, I appreciate your time.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we close, let me give you our contact numbers once again. Equip.org, there's our website. It is always Resource Consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000-CRI. Thanks again for joining in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time right here with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.